evening, if you would join me in Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. It's been a while since we have been in our series looking at bibliology, looking at the Word of God. It is an amazing thing to have God's Word readily available, readily in our hands, and it is a truth, it is a wonder that should be valued, it should be treasured, and yet how often, whether it's in our own lives or maybe it has been in our lives, we have these wonderful books that sit on the shelves or sit in the car, and we don't even look at it until we're at church. But we've been studying the wonders of God's Word, the powers of God's Word, the trustworthiness, the authority, the responsibility we have in response to His Word. And as we have looked at a lot of them, there is so much we can go on. And today, we're looking at a very practical aspect of this. As we consider the topic of being dull of hearing, we're in Hebrews chapter number 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11, and we'll take it down to chapter number 6 in verse number 2. And I don't want you to be concerned and say, why is he going into multiple chapters? Well, because I believe that they work together here. If you remember, these verse numbers and chapter numbers, those have been added later by translators, and it helped us to memorize, but it doesn't mean that is where we have to break it up. So we're going to be verses 11 through chapter 6, verse 2. God's Word says this: "About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." Anyways, we look at this passage, and we're going to see how this relates to our study of bibliology. But did you know that it is possible for the Christian to stagnate in their spiritual life? There are periods at time as you have been growing, and you perhaps can see this in your own life. I would wager we all have this at periods where you're growing, and then you hit a plateau almost. And it just stagnates. It just stops. And this principle is that this can happen at any given time. Sometimes it comes after some great growth, all of a sudden you hit a stop. Sometimes it may happen after some great discouragement or hardship. This principle is that as a Christian, you're only one of two things. You're either progressing, or if you are not going up, you are regressing. You say, "Pastor, you just talked about a plateau." Well, that is not growing. It is regression. As we consider our maturity and lack of Christian development or lack of growth, it can be a very serious matter. In fact, for one to stagnate in such a way or to regress is actually should be considered abnormal. It should not be the norm for us. Stagnation results when we do not push into maturity. You see, a Christian, it is possible to stay in that baby state. It is possible to stay in a state where you aren't growing, but this is very dangerous because then it's going to lead to questions, perhaps in your own life or others who are around you going, are they really saved? Am I really saved? I'm not growing. I'm not changing. I'm not maturing. Think about it in the physical realm. If you see a child who is not growing, who is not healthy, who doesn't see the signs of normal life patterns of growth and development, you would say they have a problem. When my second son, Cameron, you know Cameron well, perhaps, Cameron, when he was younger, he actually still has it. He has a small, tiny hole in his heart. And there was concern when he was real young, you'd have to go once a year to see a cardiologist, see if that hole would stop. And one of the concerns was, Cameron, for the longest time, he was the tiniest little thing. He was as thin as can be. He was light as a feather. And there was worry, not by us, because you've seen Krista, she's small herself, but the doctors had worry, oh, Cameron's not thriving, he's not growing. And they would want to monitor to see if his heart would keep him from growing. Now, Cameron still has that heart and that hole in his heart, and you've seen him today. He's a healthy young boy. But that's the idea. When you see a young child or a baby that is not growing, that is not, they're not changing, they can't stay a baby forever. But when there is no change, there starts to ask a question, why? What is going on here? And if you apply it to the Christian life, for there to be refusal for continual growth, you see a Christian who is not pushing towards maturity, there is a question of why. What is going on in their life? Why is this happening? And so as we get to the book of Hebrews, this is exactly the state that we see being spoken of by the author. We don't know who's writing this, but we do know the audience. Apparently, as there was a problem with the Hebrew Christians. These Hebrew Christians, they professed Christianity. There were many of them who were saved, but apparently there are some of them who are not growing. They are not maturing in the faith. And as you sit here and think of it, these babes in Christ, it can be weak, who are weak, it can be difficult at times to distinguish them. The author, he couldn't tell necessarily who was babes and who weren't, but he understood that there was obviously some here. A little background into this book and what would happen here. There was a deep discussion going on about these Christians. They were facing some intense persecution, and many of them were considering, do we go back to Judaism? Do we abandon Christianity and go back to this system? You can imagine their thoughts. Under Judaism, I was not being persecuted, but now I am. Wouldn't it just be better to go back to this and not have to deal with it? And that's what Hebrews is about. Hebrews is showing how life with Christ, how your salvation in Christianity is better. Christ is a better prophet. Christ is a better priest. Christ is a better mediator. We get all of this that Christ is better. And so here they're struggling with this, and they're under this great deal of pressure. They're struggling with going back. And as we get into this, Hebrews 5, 1 through 10, the author, he's talking about the person of Jesus Christ and his relationship to the Melchizedekian priesthood. And he stops to tell them and saying, look, you have to be spiritually discerning. You need to have spiritual growth. But they weren't ready for this truth. And he pauses as he's trying to teach them and saying, as you notice in verse 11, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain. He has to address an issue while he is trying to teach them why Christ is better. Well, why are they not ready to take this deep truth? Perhaps it's because of immaturity. Maybe it's because of willful backsliding. Maybe, perhaps, some are apostates. They profess, but they were never born again. I believe the second part of chapter 6 would indicate some of that. So I want to, as we look at this tonight, we're going to see the danger of being dull of hearing. The first thing, there's a danger of digressing. In verse number 11, a danger of digressing, it says, about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. The author has many wonderful things to say. He wants to teach these Christians about Christ. He wants to teach them how Christ is the fulfillment of the Melchizedekian priesthood. But they are babes. They can't take this truth in. It is too much. He wants them to understand and receive this. You know, many times you might hear from a Christian, they say, you know, I get in this book and it's just hard to understand. I don't get excited. I turn the page and I just can't get into it. Friends, maybe it's because you're still a babe in Christ. Maybe there needs to be some growth. Here he's saying that I have so much to say to you, but it's so hard to explain. He's having some difficulty explaining or communicating these truths to these Christians, these professing Christians, because they are immature, because they are indifferent to these deep spiritual truths. The problem is not the subject matter. The problem is not what is being taught. The problem is with those who are hearing, those who are reading. They had a spiritual problem. You notice what he says it is. You have, or since you have become dull of hearing. The Hebrew Christians, they had not always been dull. They had not always been like this, but they had clearly digressed to such a state. The word dull means to be slothful or lazy. You could say they have become lazy, they have become sluggish, they have become insensitive or numb to spiritual truth. They are hearing the words, they are coming in their ears, and they're going out the other side. It comes in and it's gone. You could say they were spiritual sluggards, they were loafers. The Word of God is making no impression on them. They're going through the life, they're coming perhaps to church, they're hearing the message, but they don't want to listen, they don't really care. It makes no difference in their lives. They're hearing without grasping. They're hearing without applying the truths of the Word. You know, there are many Christians like this today. And many Christians who are sitting, they're hearing, but it's making no difference. They aren't growing. There's no change. They are spiritually inept. I would liken this to the church of Laodicea. You know what is said about the church of Laodicea in Revelation? It is said by in that book of Revelation, it says, I know your deeds, they are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Literally, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You see, God does not desire lukewarm Christians. It makes him sick. It is disgusting. Who would want that? He hates neutrality. He hates indifference. And he wants them out of his mouth. These Christians, though, they weren't always like that. If you notice in verse 11, it says, since you have become dull. They weren't always dull. They weren't always lazy. They weren't always slothful. Apparently, after they were saved, they must have given great attention to God's Word. They must have spent time in His Word. They must have been growing. They would have been, rather than the church of Laodicea, perhaps they're like the church of Ephesus. When he says in Revelation 2:4, I have this against you, you have left your first love. Christ wasn't central in their lives. They were being sinful and lazy and indifferent. And you see, they can avoid social persecution by digressing from the truth of God's Word. But it kept them from pushing on towards Christ. If they would stand for Christ, they were persecuted. And so what would? They would compromise. You know what? I just won't say anything. I won't be active. I won't. I'll just be quiet. And it won't cause problems, but guess what? They failed to grow in maturity. Friends, aren't we like that sometimes? I know I am. I can think of times, you know, if I can just go and just be kind and I don't have to let anybody know, everything will be okay, they'll like me, we'll get along. I was certainly that way growing up in school. As long as they don't know, as long as I'm not out there trying to witness, there will be no problems. Friends, that is a problem. That is a lack of growth. And so be wary or be warned the danger of digressing. Secondly, in verse 12, there is a peril of regressing. Look what it says in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Here were people who claimed to be followers of Christ, perhaps for many years, and yet they had not matured. Perhaps these new Christians, they had been Christians for many years, some of them 20, 30 years perhaps, and they had been saved after Christ's death, after his resurrection. And now many of these Christians are second-generation believers. Perhaps their parents were believers. They had been saved for many years. They had a Christian background, a Christian culture, and yet they had become indifferent to Christ. They had took what had been given to them by their parents for granted. These are Christians who should have been teachers. These are Christians who should have been there to help others, to help the younger Christians, to teach them, but they could not because they were still immature themselves. It is quite clear as you look at verse number 12 that physical age does not produce maturity in Christians. You could be a Christian for 20, 30, 40 years, but it doesn't mean you are a mature Christian. You could be good in church all your life. It doesn't mean that you are mature. You can still be a babe in Christ. You may be wise in worldly wisdom and immature in understanding God's word. You may have little grasp of the Bible. You may have little understanding of how you apply its truths to life. You see, there is a great difference in worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. There are thousands of Christians all over, maybe even more than just thousands, who have been saved for years and they still cannot teach the basic truths of Christianity. They still cannot share the gospel. They still cannot understand God's word or apply God's word. And why is it? Why are they not capable of pointing someone to Christ? Because, as we see here, they are still babies. They have not matured. Apparently, God feels that all Christians should be teachers in some way. Now, this doesn't mean that all of you have to teach a Sunday school class. It doesn't mean everybody has to get up in a pulpit. So maybe you don't have to teach in a public sense, but you should still be an effective witness. You should be able to share the gospel. You should be able to defend the faith. Why am I a Christian? You should be able to instruct at least on some personal level. If somebody says, you know what, I'm struggling, and you should be able to share some truths from God's word. But one of the clear marks of immaturity is, it appears here, to be an inability to teach at all, to share biblical truths. Let me illustrate it like this. I heard this story. It said a principal in a high school, he had an administrative post to fill, and so he promoted one of his teachers who had 10 years of teaching experience. And when the announcement was made, another teacher in the school came to him very upset. She said, "Why did you put that teacher in this position? I have been here for 25 years. They have only been here 10 years. The principal said, "I'm sorry, but you're wrong. You do not have 25 years of experience. You have 1 year's experience 25 times." Now that's a humorous story, but how often can that be true in our own walk? You can be a Christian for 25 years, but if you aren't growing, if you're not spending time in God's word, you are still a baby. You have not grown. Apparently, this is the problem with the Hebrew Christians. They were going through the same experiences over and over and over again. They weren't growing. They weren't changing. The best way I can even illustrate this that I've seen in my own life, now I'm not making fun of any kid because every year at VBS I would do this as a kid, but on Thursdays we have our Good News Club. You know how many of those kids, when we have an invitation, they go back every single week? There's a few of them every single week. Usually it's the youngest ones, the kindergartners. When we say, hey, if you want to go, if you haven't made this profession, we have the counselors. And wouldn't you know it, a whole group of them get up and they walk on back. That's kind of the image here. When you're trying to say, hey, you're still stuck on the elementary stuff. You're still stuck on the stuff when you first got saved and you haven't grown to something greater. And notice what he says there in verse 12. He says, you need someone to teach you. You should be teachers, but instead you need to be taught the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. The elementary principles is really, they're saying, you still are needing the message of salvation. You still need the elementary things, the basic, the things you first learn. And not only that, he's saying, you need to be taught again. You still don't get it. Even the basic stuff, you have not progressed. You have actually regressed in the Christian faith. You're going back to the ABCs of Christianity. You see, a Christian is either going forward or backward in the Christian growth. You are never standing still. He says you need milk. Milk, it would be a baby's diet. In this context, it would refer to those elementary principles. You haven't graduated from the milk. You haven't graduated from the ABCs of Christianity. You have regressed to such a point that you have gone back to the stage of needing milk. I have boys, you know that. All of my boys, they want to be a man. They like to go and show how strong they are. They like to wrestle dad and prove they can push me off the bed. They like to compare how much armpit hairs they have or lack thereof. They'll take I remember one time one of them drew pen and tried to make it look like, because they want to be a man. They want to be grown up. Every Christian should want to grow up. No Christian should desire to stay a babe. Every Christian should say, I want to grow up. I want to be an adult. I want to be mature. Can you imagine if we had in here today a 20-year-old man who is still drinking milk out of a bottle? You would say, Pastor, that is ridiculous. That is embarrassing. We would say, there is something wrong with this man. Friends, that is exactly what is being said here in Hebrews. You should be a teacher. You should be an adult. You should be the mature one. And you are still here needing milk. That is the picture that we have. He says, you need milk, not solid food. You are not ready for real spiritual growth. You are not ready for this deep spiritual truth that concern the person and work of Jesus Christ. As he is describing Christ, the great high priest, as he's describing these wonderful, wonderful truths, how Christ is better, he is a better priest, he's a better prophet. He's saying, I have so much more I want to tell you, but you have not grown, so I can't tell you it. Isn't that a shame? If you think about it, a baby, they can't eat that T-bone steak. They can't enjoy that nice barbecue sandwich because they can only handle milk. Friends, when we aren't growing, we're missing out on some really good stuff. We see the danger of digressing. We see the peril of regressing. I want us to see the reality of digesting. The reality of digesting, verse 13 and 14. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And here is really where I see, right in the middle, is the heart of the matter. He says, everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Well, you know what he is saying? He's saying, if you are a Christian who is still a baby, if you are still immature, you are without experience, guess where your problem is? Your problem is right here in the Word of God. You don't know how to handle it. You don't know how to use it. You don't know how to apply it. It is impossible to know truth from this Word. It is impossible to have intellect but still be a babe in applying the truth of the Word. You can sit here and sing the song, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You could sit there and sing, Behold, what manner of love the Father. You can sit here and name all the kings, name all the prophets. You can even quote some verses. But friends, if you aren't spending time in this, if you aren't doing all that you can to learn this, if you are allowing the truth to go in one ear and out the other, to go in the eyes and make no difference and just be gone, guess what? You may have some intellect, but you are certainly not growing. That is what is being said here. He is saying you are unskilled in the word of righteousness. You are unskilled in the word of God. You know a great deal, but you don't know how to apply it. You cannot apply the words of righteousness to the point that you can live a righteous life. You're not growing, you're not changing because you're not in His Word. As we've been looking at bibliology, we have been really hitting hard throughout this how important this Word of God is. You're probably getting sick of Pastor Boy. He's always saying, you just need to get in the Word. Well, guess what? It's true, and it's a problem we all have. We need to be in it more. Milk is good for babies, but babies have to eat strong food eventually or they'll never grow. Eventually, you have to move them to the pureed food and then to the soft food. And eventually, you work their way up. They have to keep growing. Otherwise, it will stunt their growth. Knowledge of the Word and use of the Word brings maturity to Christian. You need to know it and apply it. You need to know it and use it. The key to maturity is time and practice. You want to grow, you need to be in it. You want to grow, you need to spend time with it. And he adds this when he says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. It is through the practice of His Word, the application of His Word, that these habits become mature. That through this you will grow. Knowledge that is applied or it has no value. The mature Christian, through obedience to the Bible, will be trained to understand good and evil. How do you know not to lie? The Bible tells you. How do you know not to kill somebody? Well, the Bible teaches us that is wrong. You apply these truths. The mature believer is trained to discern doctrine, but the undiscerning believer, the immature believer, cannot discern doctrine. They don't know what is right and what's wrong. They are tossed about by every wind of doctrine. When the fake comes in, they are deceived. How do the Secret Service know the real thing? It's not a secret. I've told you this before. They study the real dollar bill. That's how they understand counterfeits. They know what's fake by knowing what's real. How do you know when faith healing isn't real? Because you know God's Word. How do you know what are real spiritual gifts? You've seen it in God's Word. How do you know what is legalism? Because you've studied God's Word. The immature believer is not discerning of doctrine. They are emotionally unstable. Their feelings, it can take them back and forth through different ways, and they'll jump from one thing to another. They are insecure. They are fighting. The immature Christian will follow personalities. They're so focused on one person that it is not the Word of God. You perhaps have seen this. I have seen this. Where the pastor leaves and they leave the faith. What we have is the reality of digesting. We need to be getting into the meat. Don't be satisfied with the basics. Don't be satisfied with being saved and just stopping. You need to keep growing, which leads to the fourth and final point. There is a need for progressing. He says in chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. He's saying we need to move past the ABCs of Christianity. We need to move past what you were taught when you were first saved or what led you to salvation. You need to start getting into the meat of the word. You need to move on to maturity. There's an exhortation here for Christians. Push deeper into the things of Christ. Desire to know more. Desire to learn more. And desire to not go backward, but move forward. Get off the milk. Get into the strong meat of the word. It's like I see this. I've heard this from our young people. I even hear it as I'm watching sports. You know what they say? You get these people, they're sitting there going, let's go. Well, they're excited. I'm not going to shout like they do. All right, let's go. Let's get it. This is exciting. Friends, let's get into it. Let's be excited to grow. We don't need to, again, lay these foundations. There is good times to be reminded of it. But the author, he starts with saying, look, you need to move on from the foundations. You know about repentance. You've been taught about repentance. You've been taught these basic doctrines of faith towards God. You've been taught about conversion. You need to move past these simple truths of faith and initial repentance, and you need to get into the deeper truths of God's word. We need the gospel, yes. We need to preach the gospel, yes. But we need to move further than the gospel. We need to understand more of God's word and how we live this each and every day. We need to move more than just repentance from dead works. We need to move forward from faith towards growing in the Lord. Major Ian Thomas once said, he says, you know, I have discovered an interesting thing about American Christians. They do not usually come to church to learn anything. Whatever they do not yet know themselves, they think is heresy. When they want to hear, what they want to hear is the same old stuff, so they can say, amen, brother, amen. Now, I don't think that's true for a lot of us, but that is true for people. How many Christians or professing Christians say, I don't want to be convicted. I don't want the preacher to step on my toes. I want you just to say something I already know. He talks about the washings, the laying on of hands. It's unsure exactly what these are referring to. Maybe it's to the Old Testament purifications of priests. Maybe it was talking about the sacrifices and identifying with the offering. Maybe there was a greater significance to this and as they would understand when they were first saved and they were baptized. And he's saying you need to move past these elementary teachings, the things you would have first learned when you came to Christianity. Even the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. You know how many Christians we get bogged down and say, I want to know what's going to happen in eternity. I've said this before, but many preachers would share that if they want to bring in the people and you want to fill up a church, you have a prophecy conference. People are excited about that. They want to hear it. I'm with you. I enjoy hearing those things. I enjoy watching and understanding it. I'm sorry, Dan, I didn't enjoy Thief in the Night. That wasn't my thing. Would you believe it? Dan was excited about that. Had it introduced me. I think Liam was falling asleep during it. It was a little before my time. But you know, those things are exciting, aren't they? We want to know. We want to understand. We're curious. But there's a problem, and that we can often get so focused on eternity, which is good. We are to look towards eternity, yes. But we get so focused on that we aren't growing today. Here's the truth. We need to learn. We need to keep growing. Yes, be excited about what God is going to do, but don't stop living and growing today. Ray Stedman made this comment. He says, the last two items, resurrection and eternal judgment, obviously have to do with the themes of prophecy or eschatology. This would include the time of the rapture, the question of who the man of sin is, where the church will be during the tribulation, and so on. All these are important truths. The writer does not deny that, but they are so inclined to puff people up with knowledge instead of to edify in love. Perhaps today as we look at this and we sit there and say, you know what? Maybe I'm one of those Hebrew Christians. I've been focused on the things that I just want to hear. I have not been in God's Word. I listen to a message, but it makes no difference. Maybe you've made a profession. Maybe you've been a Christian for years, maybe only for a short while, but perhaps you've become dull of hearing. You've become insensitive to spiritual truth. Maybe your life is filled with spiritual immaturity, that there's some characteristics of an unsafe person. If that is you, you may just be a babe in Christ. Friends, we need to move forward. But we need to get more into the meat of God's Word. We need to understand it. We need to grow. There is so much here. You know what I love? I love that every time I get into this Word, it seems that God has something more to show me. It's not new. God's Word doesn't change. But something that sticks out that I maybe didn't see before or I didn't understand before. Maybe it applies to me in a different way than it ever did before. Yeah, we talk about life verses. You know, I have found that over the years my life verse changes. It used to be that out of Corinthians, if God be hid, or if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. It was that for many years as I was going into missions and struggling with some doctrinal things. And then it became for a while in Philippians, the things that we are to think about, things that are honorable, things that are of good report. And you see, my life verse changes because God will speak to what I need today. You want to grow? You want to change. You want to see those rough edges be sanded away. Friends, the answers are you need to get into the Word. Listen to it. Study it. Do all that you can to apply it. Never be satisfied in your Christian walk. Never think that you have arrived. Always be wanting more. And when those times of stagnation come, don't let it stay. Quickly say, I need to get this fixed. God, what more do you have for me? Friend, today, if this is you, I hope that you'll pray even today, God, get me excited again. Break my heart for you. If you are not a believer today, maybe you've been professing. Oh, I urge you not to leave here without receiving that free gift of salvation that God has given. Let us pray. Lord, as we come to you today, may we never be satisfied with the elementary, the ABCs of truth. Oh, may we rejoice in them. Lord, we rejoiced even this morning of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord, it's exciting to serve you. It's exciting to see individuals come to saving faith. But Lord, may we never be satisfied in ourselves and our church and with one another to not be growing. May we love your word. May we find the truth. May we dig deep When we hear a message, may we say, I want to see it. I want to understand it more in your word. When we find truth, may we desire to see it elsewhere. Lord, when we learn truths, may we see how we can apply it in our lives. Lord, help us to long for more than just the milk of the word, but for the meat, for greater and more truths. May we understand your grace, your doctrines of atonement and justification. May we see your sovereignty and your mercy. May we see all of you. May we continue to grow and share these truths with one another. Thank you for your word that is always alive, that is always teaching. May we never grow tired of it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Jeff, would you lead us in a closing hymn?
Okay, let's all stand.